And I don't know if Joe's got these out here before we begin, but they're just this a little handout that Joe and Chrisette put together, and it's very sweet. They had sent it to me, and I thought that it'd be sweet to share it with the congregation. It's a time, an order of events of the night watches, which we're going to talk a little bit. We spoke about it a little bit last week, but we'll get in that tonight. So Joe will have them up there if anybody'd like to grab one. You can get up and go up back there and get it, but we'll just begin here tonight. So why don't you go ahead and open your Bibles, and we'll get on over to Mark chapter 13. We're going to start there this evening. And again, from last week, we touched on this a little bit, but I'm led to visit upon these four night watches that we'll see are in type and shadow of these appearings of the Lord and during this end time, and what a precious time it is. But let's go ahead and begin tonight reading from Mark 13, and we'll read verses 34 and 35. It says, "Therefore the Son of Man is as a man taken a far journey who left his house, and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." Now, as I just mentioned, these are called the four night watches, and you'll see there in verse 35, at evening, midnight, the time of the cock crowing, and the morning. So again, let that be a hint to you as we begin this. These are the night watches, all at night. Now let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So those are the night watches. As we go over to 1 Thessalonians 5, I want to talk about the children of the light that should not have night taking them and should be awake and alert and not as those that sleep. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as this kind of ties in together, let's begin reading verses 1 through 9. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." I was thinking about that with sweet Amy. You know, there she was running around up at camp and all. And I mean, we all knew that baby was coming, but we didn't know when. But then that baby came, and it came quickly. So this is how this is described here, as it's going to be. We see the signs. We don't know the hour. But I'll tell you what, we do know the times and the seasons, and we're in season. The bride, praise be to God, is in season, and she's about ready to be taken. And I'm thankful to God for these wonderful signs. And it's going to hit, and it's going to come like this birth, as they're speaking of here. Verse 4, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light." And this is Paul speaking to them. "You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others." See, we're children of the day. We're not of that. But we sure can get sleepy. We sure can be like that. And this is the encouragement here, the warning, if you will. "Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day," Paul even including himself here, isn't that something? "Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." And see, that's only coming on, that's the word of God. It's got to be the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It has to be truth and love, amen? That's word rightfully divided. So you can just have all truth, but if it's not in love, it's not going to be rightfully divided. It's not going to be encouraging in that regard. But we see that this precious breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And you talk about that greatest of hope. That's the coming of the Lord. Amen. That's that abounding hope that Jesus is about to appear. Just captivating our thoughts. So wonderful. For God, listen to this. Paul goes on. And this is such a wonderful verse. For God hath not appointed us children of the light, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, you can look at that and read it very quickly. You know that this is not speaking of that there's some doubt of salvation here. No, Paul doesn't mean that at all. But what this means, brothers and sisters, is it says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. That word wrath, if you look that up in the Greek, it means the tribulation. God has not appointed us to go into the tribulation. God has not appointed us to go into that 7-year time. God has appointed us for one thing. All men to be saved and come to the full knowledge, the complete, the exact, the intimate, that perfect knowledge, that bridal knowledge. So that by the grace of God, if we lived unto that time, praise the Lord, we would be caught up in the air at the moment of that tribulation. So see, God has not appointed us to that tribulation, but to obtain salvation. And I love that. That's encouragement of Brother Paul in Philippians 3:16. That's the out resurrection. Remember how Paul said, if by any means I might attain to that resurrection? That's the out resurrection. So see, God has not appointed us to go into the tribulation. That doesn't mean that we're going to take it, but we're not appointed to it. Amen? You know, we're right back to Romans 8:17 where it says, as children, we're heirs, and yes, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we might also be glorified together. So this is so wonderful here that we see this encouragement to the children of the light. So now getting back to the thought of these four night watches that you have there on this piece of paper, those are the appearings of the Lord, and it's very sweet. They are detailed in Matthew 24, spoken of a little bit in Matthew 25 as well, too. This was very sweet. Brother Hawkins did a couple hour series on Matthew 24 and 25. Very precious. I'd encourage you as well. Brother Copley has written many things on it as well as Sister Bodie. But these night watches happen after the bride, after those awake and alive are taken up at the first trump. See, there's some that have gotten this a little confused that think that this first watch, this evening watch, is when the bride's going to go. That's not true. Bride's going to be gone. Bride ain't even going to go into the evening. Bride's of the day and of the light. So we're thankful. And I'm grateful to God, and I'm very thankful to be able to say, not only do I believe, I'm so thankful to say there is going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. And there will be. And matter of fact, people are asleep at the switch. There's already been two with Enoch and Elijah. So nothing's hard for God. As we'll read in the Church of Philadelphia here, he can open that door and he can shut that door at any time. Know this. He's the way. Amen. Praise God. So this isn't something that's mysterious. This is something that's been absolutely evidently known to us. So there's going to be a company of alive, spirit-full, Paul's gospel, bridal saints that will go at the moment of the first trump. And at that moment of the first trump is when the Lord's day begins. When you hear the Lord's day, that's the Lord's day. Lord's day ain't Sunday. Lord's day is every day if you want that. But when you're speaking of that Lord's day, that's the moment of the first trump. And thanks be to God, that is, again, going to be enjoyed by those that are these bridal saints that, again, we saw in Smyrna, the ones that have died in that wonderful alive state. And we haven't got there yet, but God willing, we'll get there soon. The Church of Philadelphia, which will be the ones that will be living on the earth at the moment of the first trump, which I'm hoping will be tonight. And by the grace of God, I hope that's me and you too. So that's what we're watching here for in this first trump. But all of that about the bride is before this first watch, as you'll see on this chart. And I think they did, again, this is Chrisette and Joe, and not to give them any praise, it's just the grace of God that's with them. But so simple and so well done. I think this is something good to fold up and put in your Bible. It'll be helpful just to be reminded of how wonderful our Lord is all the time. It's good. So, in 1 Thessalonians 5, we are the children of the light. And I want to talk about that for a minute because it's just so incredibly beyond detailed upon detail upon detail upon detail. I love you. You have a bridal calling on your life. I want you for my bride. Now, get this. And I'm sure many of you already know this, but this is wonderful. Back over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says, children, in verse 5, that ye are all the children of the light. This encouragement of this word children, the word there in the Greek is huios. And the reason I'm bringing that out is because there's two, you'll read of the word child or children in the New Testament. And it's either going to have one of two meanings. It's going to have the meaning of huios or the meaning of technon. The huios meaning is a mature son of God. That means a mature son. It's just like I can call my sons. I know they're still, in a sense, young, but they're pretty grown. But I would refer to them, yeah, they're my children, but those aren't infants. Those are huios. And it's just like my mom said, well, and she even will call me, that's my baby, that's my child, Jesse, but I'm a mature son. I'm huios. You'll also read the word children in the New Testament, and what that'll refer to is technon, or infants. Remember when Jesus was at the shore there in John, and he says, children, have you any meat, when he's calling out there for the fish? That was technon. What he was calling them is little babies, little infants. Do you have any meat? It's kind of like mocking them a little bit, you know. Just I shouldn't say that. Just jabbing them just a hair. Because he loved them. They were his friends. Isn't that what friends are about? To give each other a little prod and a poke? Amen? So in this word here that ye are children of the light, this is what we are, in a sense, in the eyes of God. This is what we should be. This is what he wants us to be, are these mature sons. And these mature sons of the light, they're the ones, praise God, that will not go into the tribulation time because they're that mature son. I'll give you an example besides where he said about little children. I mentioned it already, Romans 8:17. Go on back over to Romans 8:17. And it says there, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Well, that word children there, that's not huios. That's technon. And if you're an infant, if you're just born again, you're an heir of God. The moment you accept Jesus as Savior, you are an heir of God. But you're a baby. You're that infant. Not anywhere near, as it will go on to say, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's joint heir as a husband and a wife. Let me tell you something. Babies don't get married. They don't. Just like in the Song of Solomon, the little sister. She said, I don't have any breasts. I'm not ready to be married. But that Shulamite sure was ready. And in every way, shape, and form, the description of that mature, beautiful, that daughter, praise the Lord, that will be, again, my daughter, my sister, my spouse. Isn't that wonderful? It's so on and on and on, and the layers continue to go. But even in the 8th chapter, I'll just point this out to you. Go back up here to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Can you imagine that word sons? That's huios. See, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a mature son. You're not an infant. If you walk in the Spirit, you're a mature son of God. Amen. When we don't, we're acting as babies. Why do you think Paul went back to him and said there in Hebrews, he said, you know what? You guys should be eating on meat. You guys should be teaching the meat. But because you've reverted back so horribly, you're infants now, and I need to feed you with milk again. Yeah. Are we going to be a mature son of God, or are we going to be that child? So we see here that the children of the day, these in 1 Thessalonians 5, the mature sons, those are the ones that will love his appearing, that are fully alert by the Holy Ghost, that are mature as to all the perfect and complete will of God. And those mature sons, brothers and sisters, are the bride of Christ. And the bride in the day, the first trump, and then the four night watches happen from there. Now, let's just touch on these four night watches real quick, because this will all tie in, praise the Lord, as we go through this study in Revelation. So after the day, after the bride is taken, and you'll see here on your little sheet, if you go down to that bottom part there, you'll see first watch. That's the evening, okay? Well, after the bride's taken, the next company that's going to be taken, that next appearing, and by the way, that's what it's such a precious encouragement that the Lord is going to appear. You know, he's such a sweet and loving God. But this would be the innumerable multitude raptured in the evening. The tribulation begins, and after the bride is caught away, then the darkness starts. That's that tribulation time, the 7-year period. And this second rank are soon to be taken out after the first trump. I believe if you look into the Word of God and you see, I believe that somewhere in the second to third year of the tribulation. So they go into it. And let me tell you something, that's not going to be a fun place. The innumerable multitude, as we see in Revelation chapter 7, it says that the tear has to be wiped from their eye. It's tribulation. There's a torment going on, and there's a judgment that's beginning, and the devil will be unleashed as a roaring lion. We think that things are horrible now. Let me tell you something. This world has seen nothing yet, but so that this will be that second company. The second company, the second rank, and this second company will be those of Pergamos and Sardis. Now, we've already talked about Pergamos. And Pergamos and Sardis, those two churches together represent the innumerable multitude, the type of the Christian, the readiness that will be at that level that will be in the innumerable multitude. The difference between Pergamos and Sardis is very similar. If you think about Smyrna and Philadelphia, which are the two churches that make up the bride, Smyrna are the saints that had passed away before that trump, and then Philadelphia live at to the time of that trump, but they're caught up together. Same here with Pergamos. Pergamos is the saints that have passed away, that didn't receive the fullness of Paul's gospel, that didn't live that alive, but they're still going to be caught up at that time of the innumerable multitude. God will do it. Don't you think he won't? And then the ones that will be living, that are in that readiness for the second trump, those that, again, didn't have that alive state at the time of the first trump, they're taken at that, as we see in Revelation 7, the second trump, which will be somewhere, in the midst, before the middle of the tribulation time. So after that, we come to the second watch. So that was the first watch that has the second rank. Now the second watch will have the third rank. And notice when the second watch happens, it's midnight, isn't it? So now we're getting into the night. You know, this just isn't evening. This isn't just something that you're starting to see. It's growing dark. Now we're in the midst of it. This is getting very dire. We're at midnight time. And at midnight time, the tribulation is almost to the point of the great tribulation. And at that time, the third rank will be taken out. Here you're going to find the victors or overcomers in the church of Laodicea. We studied about Laodicea. They're the 144,000 that we'll read about in Revelation chapter 14. They're also known as the five wise virgins. They're the company who awaken and make it to the marriage supper. They're not in the wedding party. They're not the bride, but they come to the supper. They're part of the church, and we're thankful to God again for every believer. But then that is the third watch. That's the second watch. Then we get to the third watch. The third watch you'll see is the cock crowing. Well, when does the cock crow? When it's about morning time the next day, isn't it? So you've went all the way through that night. So you can imagine these saints, they literally go through and begin to emerge from the Great Tribulation. And here at this time, you're going to have the fourth rank believers. This is the lowest rank. This is the Church of Thyatira. We've studied of them. They're the five foolish virgins. They're also known as the woman in the wilderness. These are those that receive witness from the two witnesses that are killed and rise again in Revelation 7. And these ones are the martyrs that'll be under the throne in Revelation 6. They're also the ones slain in Revelation 15. But the beauty of this is they also make up that Jewish remnant that lives all the way through the tribulation. See, there's going to be ones that live all the way through the tribulation and then go out into the millennium. And that is that Jewish remnant. That is this, if you will, this is the fourth rank, that third watch, that go all the way through. And then finally we get to the fourth watch, which is the morning. And praise God, that's the promise to Israel and their reigning, hallelujah, upon this earth all through the millennium. So I know that was very quick. And I know I can see eyes sitting there going, my goodness, what was all that? But it's just a little bit of just a brief synopsis of how beautiful, as we'll begin to study out through all of Revelation. And this will come forward as we go through. But I believe that this will be a good thing. And I do love this little chart that Chrisette and Joe were encouraged of the Lord to put together. That you can see these things. And not to be confused. Because, see, as you get back into the chapter 24 and chapter 25, you know, it's just like they've done movies and all. You know how it says one's in the field and one will be taken and the other will be. You know, most people think of that as the rapture. That's actually speaking of going into the millennium. It really is. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to rightfully divide there. There's a lot of details that are very beautiful. And you know what? Right now, if that some of that is new and all, that's a precious thing. Because the Lord is introducing these things. You know, by the grace of God, in hearing Paul's gospel, you know of those paramounts of truth. But praise God of the little details. Like I say, it's like getting another love letter. It's like getting another encouragement to say, oh my goodness. That's so beautiful. And I'm so thankful, again, that we have these things to encourage us. And the truth is the truth. It is. The truth is the truth. Paul's gospel is Paul's gospel. But I am thankful that there are, you know, many different encouragements, as I'll say, in passages in the Word of God. I've had different people come to me. Well, they'll say, well, this means this, and this has to be this, and this is the only thing that it can type. And that's fine, but I would rather dine with my Lord and have him encourage me about, oh, would you like to see another layer? Huh? You think? Praise God. So I encourage you that, you know, as I tell you, I sit in that chair and stare at the tree. I have a good time there. That's where the Lord meets me for really nice dining. So they can think what they want. And I'll just have an ear to listen to the Spirit. How's that? But if you have any questions on this, by the grace of God, I'd be encouraged to talk with you a little bit. And we'll seek the mind of the Lord in it. But for now, we're going to move on to Sardis. We've got to get going. And again, Sardis represents the innumerable company. So flip on back to Revelation 3, and we'll begin reading 1 through 6. These are the saints that let the bridal message slip by. They let it slip by. And they go into the tribulation, and they will be the second rank. These ones will be the ones that we'll see raptured when we get to Revelation chapter 7. So let's go ahead and read the first six verses of Revelation chapter 3. And there we have, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And I know thy works, that thou hast a name." Thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. "Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Sardis. The name means escaping ones, ones who have come out. Perfect, isn't it? That's how God does it. That's what the name Sardis means. They escape. So obviously they go into the tribulation and they escape. Hallelujah. They come out. They're not spared from it. And notice here as we begin this, and just to kind of remind us back of Thyatira, there's nowhere near the judgment that was said to Thyatira in a sense at the beginning. Remember Thyatira, it says, "who hath his eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like unto brass." That was a real chastening there. But also notice this, it says, "yeah, you're in my hand." But to the church of Ephesus, it says that Ephesus was held in his hand. So there's a difference, and the difference is fellowship, brothers and sisters. There's a lacking of the intimacy of fellowship right off the bat, and it's made known. And what this symbolizes is that this church, this Sardis church, it has a sleepy attitude. It has a sleepy attitude as to what's available to them in Paul's gospel. By the grace of God, I don't want to have a sleepy attitude. I do not want to take this lightly. I do not want to be complacent about the Word of God. I'm so thankful for Jesus, but I'm telling you, he has so revealed in this day by his Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. We need to awaken. We need to be ready. It's coming. He is coming. And he will appear. And he will appear the second time. He says, "as you've seen me go, I'm going to come." And he's going to meet that bride in the air. And I thank the Lord. I've said it many times. It was just like when the prophets had foretold about the coming of the Lord, his birth. And they forgot about it. And they said, "oh, when's he coming? He's not coming at all." And at the end, there was just a handful. Just a little teeny handful of folks. And that was it. And you know what? He still came. He came to that handful. And boy, I'll tell you, they were a full joy bunch, weren't they? From the wise men to the shepherds to Joseph and Mary. Hallelujah. What a precious encouragement that was. But let it be known in the like manner, in the same way, because it's the Word of God. And when the Word of God says something, it's so. When God says it shall be, it will be. And see, God's already seen it done. He sees it. He says, "the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." See, time is nothing to God. He envelops, incorporates. He is in it all. He sees it as if it is done. And I thank the Lord. That's why we know it is finished. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus is, "I am that I am." He is all in all. In him all fullness dwells. So, this again symbolizes those that are in a sleepy attitude as to Paul's gospel. And that is it. Sardis has a reputation. They have a reputation. God help us. We don't want to be of any reputation. Amen? But this is what this church has become. It's got a reputation. It's got a name that is known. But in all reality, it has no life. Amen? Does it sound familiar to today? Does it sound like the time that we live in? See, they have no life. There's no alive living like the bridal saints. And this is so apparent in Christianity today. So many names that are known, so many giant churches, so much fame, so much fanfare, but yet so starved of truth. There's a famine for the word of God. Man has gone after this name. Well, we're the this or we're the this. It's because they're choked with man's ambitions. We've got people in pulpits that the God is their bellies. Organizations, their policies. It's an endless, vile river of compromise. Compromise because they're trying to appease everybody. They're trying to appease man. They're trying to get crowds. They're trying to do those things. And all of it at the expense of the truth. Because the truth will offend. The truth is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts. It cuts all the time. Praise God it does. Aren't you thankful it cuts you? Diamonds? Diamonds need to be cut. For us to be in that crown, we got to be cut like no cutting ever. You know, it's got to be the perfect, and it will be. That's His grace. But this is what the Word does, and this is why people don't want it. It doesn't fit their lifestyle. It doesn't fit their thoughts. It doesn't fit what they think it should be. And God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. Amen. So here we are. I was speaking with my mom, even about households, and how people have said everything has changed. You know, we're in this new, and, you know, everything's got... Why do you think marriages are so out of whack? Why do you think households are so absolutely and just... They're being destroyed. It's because people are not under the hand of God taking the place in their homes that God has ordained for us to take. Doesn't mean that both can't work and all of those different things, but there is still a submitting unto the Lord and submitting unto one another. And when you submit to one another, you will take that place in your home. It's been a very tender thing to my heart, and I've been so sad. Because, again, we think somehow there's something different that we're going to live in a different way than what God has ordained. And let me express this. It doesn't work. It will never work. And by the grace of God, I pray that we would be encouraged. Again, look to the Word. Look to the Lord. But see, this is mind-boggling to me that people would be offended by the truth. I thought that was what Christianity was supposed to be about. Jesus. Isn't that Christ? Of Christ? Christians? Amen? And who is Jesus? He's the Word. He's the Word. Amen. It has to be the Word. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But see, brothers and sisters, and I appreciate how this was pointed out by Brother Copley. This really is a description of Protestantism. Protestantism really began in the 15th, 16th century. And a lot of the things we enjoy today were the faith of our fathers at that time that stood in the truth. You think of Martin Luther. To be encouraged of the Lord, to step out and to say, no, we're saved by grace. Hallelujah, wonderful. The Presbytery, as that began, the Methodists, all of these different ones, they were really the stalwarts of faith, in a sense, in that time. Those are the ones that, by the grace of God, thank the Lord, had such a sweet calling. But yet, where are we today? There's a name, but it's dead. And I'm not ashamed. I'm here to preach the gospel of Christ. It's not in this day and age to go out and to say, well, this is what we think is right. And this is how we need to appease because this is what society thinks now. So this is what we're going to change. Well, let me tell you something about Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Ever. And it's wonderful. He's the Lord of yesterday, He's the Lord of today, and He is the Lord of forever. Hallelujah. And I am so grateful that it's so simple, and yet here we are. But see, that's just it. These saved ones in Sardis, yes, the life of Christ is in them. Believe it or not, every child of God has the life of Christ in them. And they always have it. Amen? Amen. It's the seed that remains. Come on. We know this, and we're thankful. I'm thankful for my own life. Praise God. I know I should have been destroyed many times over, but for the grace of God. Hallelujah. He loves me. But see, these Christians are so asleep that in a sense, they're spiritually dead. And again, if you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, that word asleep, it literally, another meaning of it is they're like dead. See, if you're a Christian and you're not living the life which you are, you're of the light. The alternative is what you're living. You're living like you're dead. You don't have a testimony. You don't have a song. You don't have abounding hope. Amen? That's right. Those alive ones, they're singing. They're whistling. Praise God. There's a thumper going on in here. I'm in love. He's in love with me. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of people excited about a lot of events going on right now. It's funny to watch them. But there's an event that's about ready to happen that we best be about. Amen. Praise God. So see, Christians that are not about the Word of God, that are not about the Word of His grace, there's no life of Christ alive at all. They're in a state of basically like, you're not dead, but it's like a death. It's a spiritual death in a sense of there's no evidence of this life. And it goes on to say, and their works are not perfect. Can you imagine? See, when Christ Jesus isn't the head, those works are never going to be perfect. When it's not the Word of God, they're just going to be wood, hay, and stubble, aren't they? It's going to be a burn thing. But once again, this is very true. It's because they went after to appease man instead of to please God. And the only way you please God is by faith. And the only way you receive faith is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's it. It's not through projects. It's not through missions. It's not through all of these things. It's through the Word of His grace. And I thank the Lord that we can come to a Bible study. And sure, there's only a few. But you know what? Just remember that. There were only a few there that were looking for Him to be born too. So I'll just leave it there. Praise be to God. Well, you can go back and think about Noah. You know, he built that ark out there for over 100 years. And he was telling them, it's going to rain. But you know what they said? What do you mean rain? We have never even seen rain. The earth would water. Did you know that? It always just come up from the ground. They'd never seen it rain. Now you're going to tell us that there's going to come a rain and there's going to be a flood and it's going to cover this whole earth. Yes, it is. And you're out here in the desert and you're building this boat. Yes, I am. And now we're seeing you gather animals. What are you doing? Oh, yes, I am, because God told me. And you know what happened? It rained. And you know what happened? It flooded. And you know what happened? There were only 8 that went on that ship. Praise God. It's not a popular way to believe the Word of God. And it's not a popular way to believe the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And those precious stories, oh, I just so thank God about. That 8 represents the number of the bride. Again, there's not going to only be 8 souls in the bride, so don't look around here who's in and who's out. But that number 8, it represents that company. It represents those, praise the Lord, that believe, that entered in. And, you know, you go on, you know, because people like to say, well, you know, those were all just wicked sinners that were killed in the flood. There weren't. It said there were some good ones. Well, the only good in anybody is Jesus. All right? We thank the Lord. So, the Lord in His great grace goes on to say here, I love you. And there's a 5-fold chastening given in verses 2 and 3 here. This is the grace to revive what is dead. And you'll notice the 5 things in their order. The first one is wake up. Be watchful. See, without a vision, the people perish, don't they? Those that have been hearing this precious gospel for some time, when you took that little reprieve and you didn't hear it for some time, that vision got a little dim, didn't it? And it goes quick. And things fade very quick. And our attention it's like a flea. And it can be diverted very quickly. So we need to be watchful. This is this vision that we need. See, without the Word of God, without encouraging and continue to encourage, and as the Word of God, give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen? See, when we let that slip, we neglect so great salvation. And what salvation are we talking about? We're talking about saved from the tribulation salvation. See, people think of salvation in just this little finite deal, meaning the blood. Well, the blood is not just a finite little deal. Let me tell you something. The blood is everything. That blood is that blood that's on the mercy seat that sees the grace of God that the cherubim don't stray from and that they look at, that's grown them up into Him in all things, that makes them the representation of the bridal saints. Praise God. Over and over again, the lines, Old Testament, New Testament. I'm going to have a bride and I want it to be you. Isn't it wonderful? Yes. It is that personal to those that believe. Number two, strengthen, stand. So you have this vision, now stand. Fight. Don't compromise. I think about grace. Grace is so free, but grace is so difficult for my flesh. Amen. Wants to work, wants to do this, wants to do that, instead of just settling down in the grace of God. Number three, remember the Word. Remember what you heard. Amen. And continue to hear the Word of God. Number four, hold fast. And I love this because that's what we're going to hear in Philadelphia. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. And as we have this, keep it as a treasure. Treasure the Word of God. And number five, I love this because a lot of people say, see, you got to repent first. It's interesting. Repent's at the very end. Isn't that wonderful? Because this change of heart needs to happen all the time. Because believe it or not, you don't just get into the Christian zone and stay there. You got to fight. And these things are all working all the time, aren't they? Isn't it wonderful? And praise be to God, that repent, it means a change of heart. Lord, let my heart be broken before you always. Let it keep breaking. Because you know what? If this isn't going on in our lives, we're going into the evening. We will go into that second rank company. And God forbid any of us here tonight that would hear this message of so great salvation that you just let that pass you by. Amen. And I'm thankful. I look at these young people and little bit older young people and all of that. And then my own life and thinking about brothers and sisters in this meeting. The precious lives that the Lord has given. Exciting in lots of ways and different things. And I love to encourage the young people. Man, you have these dreams and these goals and it's awesome. But don't miss the best part. And those dreams and goals will even be more awesome in the right way awesome as we go on rejoicing in the best part, which is this. Let me tell you something. Eternity is a long time. It's a long time. And once again, our life is but a vapor, as the Word of God says. Our life is but a shadow. I think, here's my shadow and I move over here and my shadow's gone. Just like that. That's my life. But my goodness, He's given us opportunity for eternity to have this beyond. You talk about exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Relationship with Him throughout all the ages in a body like unto His own glorious body. I want that. By the grace of God, I want that because He wants me. Hallelujah. All right. So there you go in those five. We'll move on. Now in verse 4, as we go back there, it says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And notice, it's just a few names. This is what's so heartbreaking here, brothers and sisters. This is the result. And I will say this because I'm telling you, there's a lot of my brothers and sisters in Christ still in these things. This is the result of most of Protestantism today. They have a name, but they're dead. And there are two classes of people in this church. There are a few saved, and the majority of them are unclean. They're not saved. There's a few that are saved, and the majority are not saved. Let's get this so you understand about these defiled garments. Let's go over to Titus chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This is a Bible study. Praise God. Titus 1, 14 and 15. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Isn't that pretty much where all these religious organizations have gone? With their new rules and concepts and, you know, Mary's a co-redeemer and, you know, infant baptism. And on and on and on. It's just, tell it like it is. You will not find that in the Word. Supplements, but I'll take it to Revelation. Whosoever adds or takes away from this book, may the plagues be on them. And there's a plague. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. See, brothers and sisters, Ephesians 4, 22 and 20 through 24. And I know you'll remember this. It's not put on the new man and put off the old man. If you look at the way that that was truly written, it says we have put on the new man and we have put off the old man. It's done. That's done. And where I'm going with this is we are clean. We are washed. That's why when Peter said to Jesus, wash me all over, Jesus says, don't say that. You're washed, son. You're washed in the blood. You're clean. You're of me. You don't have defiled garments, son. The only thing that's going to get a little dirty is your feet. And we'll wash that with the Word. Amen? So know this. Our feet might need some washing, but our garments, they're of Him. And they're whiter than the snow. It's so wonderful. And notice here in verse 4, there's just so much. They that walk with Him in white, don't they? Going back to Revelation chapter 4, it says there, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. This is a very precious thing, this white. But once again, the meaning of this white, it's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious white, but it's not the all-glorious white. Remember how we had the two words for children? There's at least a couple words for light, and we'll point this out here real quick. This white, in the Greek, the word is leukos, which means brilliant and shining. So they're going to walk with Him in a brilliant and a shining light. But I'll just whet your appetite here. If you turn over to Revelation 19:8, see these ones, they have, you know, these robes, these garments that are brilliant and shining. They're wonderful. But I want you to read about what the Lord wants to array you in. And in chapter 19, verse 7 and 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. And why are we giving honor to Him? For the marriage of the Lamb. His marriage. This is His honor. This is what He's been waiting for. This is it. His wife, hallelujah, hath made herself ready. You can hear the trumpets blasting. Hallelujah. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Oh, so many descriptions in that. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now this white that she is in, this isn't a leukos. This is lampros. This is a different white. This just isn't brilliant and shining. This is brilliant beyond. This is shining and so magnificent, but it's also It's because it's transparent. It's transparent. You can see through it. And brothers and sisters, this word, lampros, is only used of Jesus Christ to describe him. Right, if you just jump across the page, Revelation 22, 6, where it says, the bright, the very light, the morning star, in verses 22, 6, that's speaking of Jesus. It is so wonderful, brothers and sisters, because that light, that is lampros, that is Jesus. This is the light of like him glory. Sardis, the second rank, doesn't have this glory. They arrive with palms in their hand. They arrive standing before the throne. They arrive singing salvation to our God. That's all in Revelation 7. That's not what the bride enjoys in the midst of the throne with the worship. Hallelujah. Now going back to our text, and we'll wrap this up in chapter 3. Let's hit verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This verse has caused so much confusion to those that wrestle with Scripture. Is my mic still on? Are we okay? Okay. But this is something that has caused a lot of confusion. Again, to them that wrestle with the truth. But if we just take this in context, if we just rightfully divide by the Spirit, with the absolute assurance that we know of the Word of God, because we know of the security of the believer, this will be just like a cookie on the shelf. And this is what this is saying. Christians who live in compromise, like these Sardis saints, Christians who live barely alive in Jesus, Christians that truly have a name but are dead, kind of going to a meeting like that, but they're still Christians that are there, and don't come out to have that heart awakening to being the bride of Christ, he shall in no wise cast them out. No wise cast them out. He'll never do it. Just because a child denies the right to grow up and reign does not mean that that child is still not an heir. Amen. Amen. Even though the wood, hay, and stubble is burned, they are saved from the fire. And this is exactly what this is speaking of. Does this make sense to you now? See, the reason this is brought up is, yeah, they wasted it. They didn't come out of it. But you know what? I'll never, ever blot your name out of that book. You're mine. You're born of God. It's the seed that remaineth. It's called everlasting life. Amen? Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Children can disappoint a parent. Children can disappoint a parent and basically ruin their whole life and waste it. But they're still that parent's child. Amen. It was a actor, and you know, you hear this oftentimes, and I remember just watching, he wasn't famous at all, but they're talking about his son, and they couldn't find him for 8 days. He's 24 years old, and they're just so horrified because he's addicted to drugs, and they didn't know where he was, and they were just relieved that they found him, that dad had achieved a degree and had done lots of wonderful things and famous actor in a lot of ways. But that child didn't grow up, I'm sure, into what his dad, mom wanted that child to be. But he's still his child. And he's still loved, even though he wasted his life. So this is what this is. And I hope it's simple now to you. As the Word of God says, you're mine. And as the Lord says, I'll confess your name before my Father and before the angels. But when we get to Philadelphia next week, I'm going to make known about my bride to all that I love her. This ain't just confessing a name. This is my love. Hallelujah. You see the difference? It's all over the place, isn't it? It's undeniable. You have to not want to see it, to not see it. And that's the truth, because he wants you to see it. Amen? He that wills to know will know the will of God. You don't see this, it's because you don't want to see this, because it's there. And I would that all men be saved and come to this full knowledge. And then finally in verse 6, once again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is what changes everything, hearing the word of God. This is why it's always hear the word of God, hear the Spirit. The Spirit can't speak of anything but the word of God. It's like people saying, well, I've got word for you today. No, you don't. Jesus has word for me every day. I appreciate people encouraging me in the word of God and giving me a scripture and all of that, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I see something for your life. No, you don't. Just pray. He might give us a vision, but it's going to be in his word. But see, it's hear the word in all its depth and glory. This goes back to our study in John, John 16:13. When we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we are given the ability to be led into all truth, where the Spirit takes all the things of Christ and he shows them unto you. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why he gives you the desire, hallelujah, to be filled. And then the desire to continue on in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And that's where I tell you, I don't know how it would work any other way. But I need that bubble in effect all the time too, because it helps. This is the hearing. Let God, let him speak this bridal proposal to you continually. Amen. Praise God. I hope this has been an encouragement. I know there's a lot. And as I've said many times, we haven't even scratched the surface. That's what's exciting about this. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.